B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. We're going to start two lines from the end of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis. We're in the middle of the sugya of Vayihi bin Soya Ha'orin, that since the small parasha, the smallest parasha in the Torah, which is Vayihi bin Soya Ha'orin, is 85 letters, therefore 85 letters is a significant amount of letters for different halachas that we've already seen. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbanon, Vayihi bin Soya Ha'orin Vayoymer Moshe. And most of us are familiar with these psukim. These are the two psukim in the Torah of Parashas Vayihi bin Soya. Says the Gemara, Parashas Zu Oso Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Simon Yois Milamala Umilamato. It's very interesting. If you ever looked in a Sefer Torah at these psukim, there's something you won't find anywhere else in the Torah. Before the Parashah of Vayihi bin Soya and the end of the parasha of Vayihi bin Soya, there are simonios, there are signs. These signs are actually upside down or back to front, nunin, the letter nun, not the final nun, a regular nun. There's one on each side. Some say it's upside down, some say it's back to front, some say both. But either way, it's a simon, it's a sign. Something is unique, something is different and strange about these two psukim. Loimar, why are these nunin, why are these simonios there? Says the Gemara, she'ein zu mekoimo, in order to tell you that they don't really belong here, because the parasha Vayihi bin Soya Ha'orin means that when the Orin holding the Luchos and the Sefer Torah, when the Orin was in transit, Vayihi bin Soya'orin Vayomer Moshe, Moshe would say, when the Orin was starting to go, he would say those two psukim. And really, this parasha belongs together with the Degolim, where the Torah tells us exactly in what formation Klal Yisrael travelled, who went first, who went second. That's the time to put these two psukim. They don't belong here where they are. Rabbi Omer, Loi min Hashem Huze. Rabbi says that's not the reason that there are these simonios. Elo mipnei she'sefer choshuv hu bifnei atzmoi. The reason that these two psukim are circled as their own is in order to tell us that they have the chashivus, the significance, they have the status as if they are a whole chumash on their own. We know in school we all learned there's five chumashim. Bereishis Shemois Vayikro Bamidbar Dvarim Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So here, according to Rebbe, we suddenly realize there's actually an extra two. Sefer Bamidbar is split into three. Til Vayihi bin Soya, Vayihi bin Soya, and after Vayihi bin Soya. And Rebbe argues with the Tanakhama and says that don't say that it's not in place, because this is in place. And Rashi explains why these psukim do have a place where they are. And the reason you have these simonios is to tell us that they have the significance of a Sefer Torah, of a Chumash. They have the status of a Chumash on their own. Elo mepnei she'sefer choshuv hu bifnei atzmoi. So ask the Gemara. Kaman oz leha de Omer b'Shmuel bar Nachman, Omer b'Yonason. It was said in the name of Rabbi Yonason as follows. And this is based on a pasuk in Mishli that says, Chochmo isponso beiso, chotzvo amudeha shiva. That she carved out seven pillars. What are these seven pillars mentioned in the pasuk alluding to? Eilu sheva sifri Torah. It's seven Sefer Torahs. It's not really seven Sefer Torahs. It's seven Sforim within the Sefer Torah. Kaman Karebi. He's following what Rebbe said, that Vayihi bin Soya is a Sefer on its own, and therefore, in total, you have Bereishis, Shmois, Vayikra, Bamidbar till Vayihi bin Soya, Vayihi bin Soya, Bamidbar after Vayihi bin Soya, and Devorim. That's seven Chumashim. Says the Gemara, Man Tana de Paligoleo de Rebbe. Who was the Tana who argued with the Rebbe, the Tana Kama of the Braisa, that argued with Rebbe? Says the Gemara, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. We know it's Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, the Tanya we learnt in another Braisa. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Asido parasha zu sheteokir mikan v'tikosev b'mekoima. Rashi says that le'osid, when there's not going to be any more pur'onyo, it's not going to be any more suffering, any more troubles, then lo yid'agu l'pur'onus, they will not be concerned about the pur'onyos, the bad tidings, the yetzahara bottle, and the yetzahara will not be have any power anymore. And therefore, at that time in the future, this parasha is going to be removed from where it is now and put where it really belongs. So you see, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel follows the Tanakhama, who says that the reason you have these simonyos is to tell us these two psukim do not really belong here. Why indeed are they here if they don't belong here? It's very important to us that troubles, tragedy, that they're not right next to each other. There was a tragedy of Puronus before this parasha. There was a Puronus after this parasha. In order they shouldn't be right near each other, the Torah breaks up the two by putting Vayhi ben Soya in between. Says the Gemara, Puronus Shnio Mahi. What's the second Puronus? What's the Puronus after the parasha Vayhi ben Soya? Says the Gemara, it's the Pasuk that says Vayhi ha'om kemis oinanim. The nation were looking to complain. They were looking for reasons to go against Hashem. Puronus Rishayna. What was the Puronus before the parash of Vayhi ben Soya? That's the Pasuk, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, Derech Shleishes Yomim. And there it's talking about the Klal Yisrael moved away from Har Sinai. V'omer b'chome b'rb chanina, Shesoru Mehachri Hashem. When it says Vayisu Mehar Hashem, they traveled away from Sinai, from the heart, the mountain of Hashem. It's also alluding to the fact that in their hearts they went away from Hashem. They turned away from Hashem. And Rashi explains that this was the parasha of the Hisavu Ha'asafsuf Taiva, and they were looking, Kedei Limroid Bakadosh Baruch Hu, they were looking to complain, they don't have any meat, and they wanted to rebel against Hashem. And that was the Puronus that was before Vayhi ben Soya. According to the Tanakhama, according to Shimon ben Gamliel, who says that the parish of Vayhi ben Soya does not belong where it is, where does it belong and where is it going to be? La'osid? Omer v'ashi b'degolim, it belongs together with the parish of the Degolim, where the Torah tells us how Klal Yisrael traveled when they traveled. And then the Pasuk will say that Vayhi ben Soya ha'orin, when the Orin is going to travel, Moshe said that these two psukim. Continues the Gemara, Iboy Eluhu. And now we're going back to the topic of discussion here in the Perek about what one is allowed to save from a fire on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, Iboy Eluhu. Hagvilin, the blank parts of Shel Sefer Torah, of the Sefer Torah. We know that every Sefer Torah, which is obviously written as a scroll on parchment, the center of the, let's call it the center of the page, is where the text is. But there are many other places in the parchment in front of us where there's no writing. There are the margins on the right, the margins on the left, there's the space on the top, the space at the bottom, the margins. We have between one Chumash and the next, we have between one Parasha and the next. There are many areas of the Sefer Torah that actually do not have anything written on them. And the question is, Matzilinoisan mipnei adeleika, oy ein matzilinoisan mipnei adeleika? Do we save them from a fire, or do we not save them from a fire? And we're soon going to understand the question a bit better, but the Gemara is going to start with trying to answer it. Tashema, we learnt, Sefer Torah shebolo, Sefer Torah that got worn out. Im yesh bole lakit, shmoinim v'chomish oisyois, kagoyin parashas vayhi ben Soya orin, we saw this already in a previous Gemara, that if you can collect 85 letters in this Sefer Torah that are still intact, and we discussed on Daf Kuf Tezvov whether they have to be made up of whole words or not. But either way, if you have 85 letters that were part of the Sefer Torah that are still intact, even if the rest of the Sefer Torah is totally worn down, then that is significant enough and holy enough that you have to save it from the fire. Matzilin ve'imlav, if there are no 85 letters left, and providing, as we saw before, that those letters that are left are not making up any of Hashem's names, ein matzilin, then one does not save the Sefer Torah. Asks the Gemara, va'amai, tepe klemishum gvilin didei. There may not be any writing left intact, but the margins, they never had any writing. Why don't we say that you save this Sefer Torah? Because of the margins. So we can deduce from the fact that we don't say that, from the fact that you need to have that amount of letters, you see that the margins are not significant to be saved from a fire. Says the Gemara, no. Bolo shani. Since we're talking about a Sefer Torah that's worn out, and we assume that if the Sefer Torah is worn out enough that there's no writing intact, that the whole parchment's been worn out, and including the gvilin, the margins, have also been worn out, and therefore there's nothing to reckon with. When we asked about the gvilin, there the discussion was what happens when the Sefer Torah was not worn out, And we'll soon have to see exactly what scenario that is. It was just that the Sefer Torah was rubbed out, but it was not worn out, and therefore the gvilim, the margins, may still have had some kedusha. We're soon going to see that. Says the Gemara Tashma, we're going to try and bring proof whether the margins are significant enough that you can save them in the fire from another case. Tashma, Sefer Torah shenimchak. Here we're not talking about a Sefer Torah that got worn out. We're talking about a Sefer Torah that got rubbed out, which means that the parchment is intact, just the writing got rubbed out. If you can find the remaining in the Sefer Torah 85 letters, the length of a Chumash, the parash of Ahi bin Soya, 85 letters, then it's significant enough that you can save it from a fire on Shabbos. Then Matzilin, ve'imlav ein Matzilin. If you cannot find 85 letters intact, you do not save it. Says the Gemara of Amai, Tepu klei mishum gvilin didei. Why don't we say that you have to save this rubbed out Sefer Torah because of the margins, assuming that there's Kedusha in the margins and that there's enough reason to save the margins from the fire? Can we not deduce from there that there's no Kedusha and the margins are not significant enough in order to have to save them from the fire? Says the Gemara, no. Mokim haksav loikomi boili. I had no question regarding the area itself where the text was written. And there, if you haven't got 85 letters within the whole Sefer Torah, you do not save them. Tachi kodesh, the only reason that the center of the page and the parts where the writing is, the only reason it ever had any kedusha, any significance, was the chikodesh agav ksavu de kodesh. The whole significance and value and holiness of that part of the parchment was only because of what's written in it. And therefore, if everything that's written in it has got rubbed out, then there isn't even 85 letters left, then the parchment in the middle where the text is written, that loses its kedusha, and it's clear that you don't save it. Ozal ksav, ozaloi kedusha ose. If the writing gets rubbed out, then the kedusha leaves it as well. Ki kami boili, what was the question? Shel malo, we're talking here about the areas of the gvilin on their own. The top margins, v'shel mata, the lower margins, shebein parasha le parasha, between one parasha and the next, what we may call one paragraph and the next. There's some psuchos and stumos we've learnt about, there are some gaps there. Shebein daf le daf, between one column and the next. Shebetchilas ha-sefer, shebesoif ha-sefer, there's got to be a space before and after every sefer. And that was the question. And that's what we're discussing. Do you have to save it? Do you not have to save it? Says the Gemara, okay, no problem. In the Braisa that we just mentioned, Sefer Torah shenimchak, so you understand, it's clear to you that the area in the middle is only got Kedusha all the while that there's at least 85 letters still remaining intact. And if not, you don't save them from the fire. But the question is, so save this Sefer Torah that does not have 85 letters in the middle of the page, where the text should be, but you should save it from the fire because of its margins. And if over there it says you don't save it, then of course you don't save the middle part. There's no reason to save it because there's no writing left. But do you not have to save the margins at least? Says the Gemara, no. We're talking about a case, the guy's v'shodi. We're talking about that the margins have been totally cut off. The Bryce is talking about a case where all that's left is the area of the text. And that's why the Braisa says that if in the area of the text in the middle there isn't 85 letters, there's no more Kedusha. But there's no proof from there what's with the margins themselves. Do they have and contain their Kedusha or not? Continues the Gemara. Toshima, we're going to try and bring another proof. Hagilyoinin shelmalo v'shelmato shebein parasha leparasha shebein daf ledaf, all these empty parts of the Sefer Torah, Shebetchilas ha-Sefer, Shebesoif ha-Sefer, all the parts we mentioned before, Metamin es ha-Yodayim. It says explicitly in the Braisa, and we've already learned this earlier on in Maseches Shabbos, in the first Perek, we saw there that there's a concept of Yudches Dvorim, the certain gzeiros that Chachomim made, and one of them is that if a person touches a Sefer Torah with his raw hands, and touches straight onto the parchment, his hands are then Tomei midrabonon, and he's not allowed to touch truma. And if he did touch truma, he's not allowed to eat the truma. midrabbanon. And here it says that even if the hand touched the margins, the hands become tomei. Can we not see from that halacha that the margins do have kedusha, and therefore it would make sense you have to save them from the fire? Says the Gemara, no. Dilma agav sefer Torah shani. No, there's no proof. Over there, the reason that the hands become tomei is, as we saw in the first peruk, is because there's a problem, an issue with touching the sefer Torah. Since there's an issue with touching the Sefer Torah, then the margins are all part and parcel of that same reasoning why the hands should become tomei. But that doesn't yet tell us that the margins on their own right have their own kedusha. Continues the Gemara Toshima. We're going to try and bring another proof. Hagilyonin, the empty parts, Vesifri Aminin, and Sforim written by heretics, Minim, Ein matzilin oison mipnei adoleika. You do not save them from a fire. Elon isrofin b'mekoimon. If there's a fire threatening them, let them get burnt where they are. Hein v'az koreisen. Them and all the holy names, the shemus that are written inside it, since a sefer Torah, since a heretic wrote it, therefore we don't mind if it gets burnt. So, and there you see explicit mention, Hagvilin v'sifrei minim. So the sifrei minim, we understand, they get burnt. We're allowed to let them get burnt. We're supposed to let them get burnt. What's the gvilin here? Hagilyoinin, the gilyoinim, are the margins we mentioned. Can you not bring proof from here that the margins themselves are not allowed to be saved from the fire? My love, can we not assume gilyoinin de sefer Torah, that the Brice is talking about the margins of the sefer Torah? Says the Gemara, no. It's talking about the margins of the Sforim that were written by the heretics, and they can be burnt. You're going to ask, Hashta Sifrei Minin Gufayu Ein Matzilin Gilyoinin Miboya? Why does the Braisa have to say the margins and the Sforim of the Minim get burnt? If the Sforim themselves get burnt, of course the margins get burnt. They're not going to have more Kedusha than the text itself. So how are we going to read the Braisa if Gilyoinin means the margins of these Sforim written by the heretics? Hochi Komas. The Gemara says, this is how you have to read the Braisa. V'sifrei minin harehin k'gilyoinim. What the Braisa means to say is that the Sforim themselves have the same value as the Gilyoinim of those Sforim, and therefore they can get burnt. But they're not talking about the Gilyoinim of a Sefer Torah, so we do not have any proof yet to our question. Rashi explains the words v'sifrei minin harein k'gilyoinim means that the books themselves, the Sforim themselves, written by the heretics, have the same status as gilyoinim, as empty sheets, as if they'd never been written. There's no value to anything that they write, and therefore they're all considered as one empty blank book, an empty scroll, and therefore it's allowed to be burnt. Continues the Gemara. And now we're going to go back into halacha that we just mentioned in the Gemara, but we're going to bring the whole braisa more at length. Gufa, hagilyoinim v'sifrei minin ein matzilin oisam mipnei adoleika, as we saw, that one does not save the Sforim written by heretics from a fire. That's the Tanakama. The Tanakama have more to say about this, and we're going to see at the end of the braisa, we're going to see that the Tanakama actually say not only are you allowed to let them get burnt and we don't save them from anything else that's threatening their existence, and we're soon going to see in the end of the braisa what they are. But in the meantime, we're stopping with the Tanakama, we're going to the next opinion. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Rabbi Yosi says, b'chol, if it's the weekday, koydir eso az koris shebohen, you cut out the holy names in these Sforim written by the heretics, v'goinzon, and they should be respectfully hidden away, buried, v'ashar sorifon, and the rest of the sefer written by the heretics, by the minim, they can get burnt. Omer of Tarfin. Rav Tarfin is saying, Akapeach es b'ni. That means he's making a promise, and he's saying it on the life of his children. He's saying, as if to say, on the heads of my children, I'll bury my children if the following isn't true. And the truth is, in many other places, Rav Tarfin expressed himself in this way. And what did he say? Shem yavoyu liyodi, that if these Sforim of the heretics would come to me, shani esrof oisom, I would burn them, ve'esas koris shebehen, with the Askoris. That means if a heretic wrote a sefer, there's zero value to it. It can all be burnt. Even the holy names are not holy, and they are burnt. Sha'afilu odom roidif acharov. Even if a person is roidif acharov lahorgoi, even if a person would be running after him, he's referring to himself, he just didn't want to say it, he didn't want to make a kitrug, but he said, even if somebody would be running after him, wanting to kill him, v'nochosh rotz la'kishoy, and or a snake was running after him to bite him, nichnas lebeis avodah zarah, I would go into the house of an avodah zarah. It's a pikuach nefesh. The Vilna Gaon brings proof from here that in the case of pikuach nefesh, one's allowed to go into a home of an avodah zarah, into a base avodah zarah. Ve'ein nichnas lebateim shel elu, but I will not go into the homes of the minim of the heretics. Shehalolu makirin v'koifrin, because the heretics, the minim, they recognize Hashem, they know about Hashem, and they are koifer, and they are denying Hashem. Ve'halolu, but those who are serving avodah zarah, ein makirin v'koifrin, they're serving avodah zarah. That's the home they were brought up in. That's what they were taught. They don't know any better, and therefore you can go into their houses if it's pikuach nefesh. But to go into the homes of the minim, at any expense, you wouldn't go in. Valei makosov omer, the posuk speaking about the heretic says, va'achar hadeles v'amezuza, behind the door, behind the door frames, the doorposts, samt zichroinich, you've put there, you've hidden away your memories, which means you remember very good all about Hashem. You've just chosen to shove him behind the door and ignore his existence, and there's nothing worse than that. Omer Rabbi Shmuel, says Rabbi Shmuel, and he's probably not arguing with Rabbi Tarfon, he's just explaining, Kal v'chomer, it's even a Kal v'chomer, Uma la'asiz shalom bin ish li'ishtoi, Omra toiro shemisha nichtav b'kedusha, Yimoche alamayim. In the case where you have an argument, an issue of peace between a husband and a wife, and it's referring here to the parasha of a Saita, where we don't know if a wife did an Avera, didn't do an Avera, and we don't know if she's allowed to go back to her husband. So you have the parasha of the Saita. The parasha of the Saita, a part of the Torah was written. It was written absolutely b'kedusha, and they would rub out the whole part with the names in it in order to make shalom. The Saita would drink the water that this parasha was rubbed out into, and we all know the parasha of Saita. So and there it says shemisha nichtav b'kedusha yimoche alamayim, that this parasha that was written b'kedusha can be rubbed out in water. Halolu, these heretics, they're not only are they not coming to make peace between people, and it's not only they're not coming to make peace, it's not only about people, it's much worse. Shematilin kino, they incite jealousy, v'eva, and hatred, v'tacharut, and disagreement, ben Yisroel aviyem shabbat shemayim, between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Allah has kamo v'kamo, even more so that we're allowed to burn them and wipe them out, there's no value in them, and we disregard those Sfarim altogether. V'aleim omar David, and David HaMelech said on these heretics the following posuk in Tehillim, Haloi mesan echo Hashem esno, those who hate you, I hate. Ubiskoim mecho, and those who stand up against you, eskoitot, I will fight. Tachlis sino senesim, with utmost hatred, I hate them. Looyivim hoyuli, they were enemies to me. And that pasuk was said on these heretics. And now the Braisa is going back to the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma didn't go as far as to say that you're supposed to go and burn them. It just says ein matzilin oisam lepnei adeleika, you don't save them. The Tanna Kamma carries on, ukashem she'ein matzilin oisam lepnei adeleika, in the same way as you don't save them from getting burnt, kach ein matzilin oisam, and this is talking about even during the week, ein matzilin oisam loy minam apoilas, not from being buried under a home that's fallen down, a broken down building, v'loy min ha'mayim, nor from water that's threatening to destroy them, v'loy midobar ha'ma'abdon, nor from anything else, any other elements that are threatening to destroy these scrolls written by heretics. We do not save them, we do not mind if they get lost. According to the Tanna Kamma, we don't actually go out of our way to burn them physically, actively, but we allow them to get burnt. According to Reb Yossi, during the week, you cut out the names and the rest, Vashara Soyrfon. Reb Tarfon says you can actually burn, not on Shabbos, but during the week, you can go and burn them with the Shemus. Continues the Gemara. Boy mine Yosef bar Chonin mirbavo. Yosef bar Chonin asked Mirbavo the following question. Hani sifra debe avidon. The sforim that were written by the heretics, and they were written in order to challenge Klal Yisrael. And the place where these challenges took place were actually called Bei Avidon. It seems that Avidon was the name of the Sforim that were written by the heretics, and the Bei Avidon was the home where, which was home to the Sforim where all these challenges took place. So he asked him, Hani Sifra de Bei Avidon, Matzilin oison v'pnei adleika oy ein matzilin? Do you save them from a fire or do you not save them? Says the Gemara, in v'lav. Rav Avohu said, sometimes he said yes, sometimes he said no. V'lav, v'rafyo biyodei, and it wasn't clear to him, it wasn't an absolute clear ruling. Now Rashi explained, as we said, that these Sforim were written by the heretics. Rabbeinu Chananel says that the reason that Rav Avohu wasn't so clear with his psak is because he wasn't sure, it wasn't clear who actually wrote this for him. It was a doubt. One can doubt, were they written by Yisrael or were they not written by Yisrael? And therefore it's not clear whether these Sforim themselves actually have Kedusha, and therefore Rav Avohu himself wasn't absolutely sure whether they could be left to burn or not. Continues the Gemara. Rav loy ozil lebe avidon. Rav would not go to this home, to this place where all these Sforim were and where the heretics would challenge Klal Yisrael. The Kolchken lebe Nitzrafi, and Kolchken, he would not go to a home of an Avodah Zarah called Nitzrafi. Shmuel says, lebe Nitzrafi loy ozil. I wouldn't go to a home of Avodah Zarah. Lebe Avidon ozil. But I don't have a problem going to that home where the heretics were challenging us. Omru le Lerova. One of these heretics asked Rava once, "Maitamalei osis lebe avidon? Why do we not see you coming to the Bei Avidon, which is all where the heretics are sitting with their sforim? Why don't you come for the challenge?" Omar luhu. So Rava answered to these heretics, "Dikle planya ika beurcha v'kashili." He was obviously not giving the honest answer. He didn't want to say that I don't trust you. I'm scared you're going to get annoyed with my answers and you might kill me. He just said, yeah, because there's a palm tree in the middle of the way, it's hard for me to walk there. So the heretics answered to Rava, Nakre, no problem, we'll uproot the tree and then you can come. So he says, no, duchte koshili, when you cut it away, the place where the tree was, there's going to be a ditch. And the ditch is complicated for me to go around and to cross. It's hard for me. Mar bar of Yosef, Omar, ano minayhu ano. I'm part of them, I'm one of them, I know the people, the heretics that are there, I'm familiar with them, and therefore, I'm not afraid of them, and he would go to these places. Zimna choda ozil, at one point he went, boyeliskune, and indeed they actually tried to kill him. Just to back up what we said before, it's dangerous to go to those places, they cannot be relied on, they could get murderous. And here the Gemara brings, on the side of the Gemara they bring that before the Tzenza took out an extra line, there was a line here that says, Rab Meir Korilei Oyer Oyin Oven Gilyoin, Rab Yechanan Korilei Oven Gilyoin, with an ayin. And the explanation is that these Sforim, that written by heretics, that Rab Meir called them Oven Gilyoin, which means the scrolls of sheker, of lies. Rabbi Yechon called them oven gilyon, which are the scrolls of sin. Continues the Gemara. Eima Sholim, it was the name of a woman, Debisu de Rebbe Eliezer. She was the wife of Rebbe Eliezer. Auchsei de Rebbe Gamliel Havoi. And she was the sister of Rebbe Gamliel. Hava Hahu Philosopher. There was this, it would be literally translated as philosopher. Rashi brings that it was a heretic. B'shivavusei, that this heretic was living in the neighborhood, in the area of Reb Gamliel and his sister Eima Sholim. To have a shokil, shmo deloy mekabel sheikhto. He would tell everybody, he would make it known that he does dinei Torah, he sorts out financial issues between people, and he doesn't take bribes Bo la'ichuchei bei, that Reb Gamliel and his sister Ema Sholim wanted to ridicule him and expose him and show everyone that he's just pretending not to take bribes, but in truth he does take bribes. So they went up to Ailelei Ema Sholim. They decided they were going to play a trick on him. So Ema Sholim and Reb Gamliel came to him as to have a din Torah. They had an argument, a financial issue. So Ailelei, this sister, this woman, Ema Sholim, she brought up to this philosopher, to this fellow, Shraga Dadava, a golden chandelier, a golden lamp. And that she made it clear to him that, you know, to eye it, and he would realize that she was coming to bribe him. V'ozul l'kameh, and the two of them, after that, Ema Sholim came together with her sister, with her brother, Reb Gamliel, to a din Torah, for an argument. Omrole, she said to this person, to this heretic, Bo'ino de niflegili b'nechse de b'nashi. I want that the inheritance from my father should be split evenly between me, Ema Sholim, and my brother, Reb Gamliel. Omar Luhu. So this heretic says, Plugu, yeah, you should split the inheritance into two, 50-50. Omar Le Reb Gamliel said to this heretic, Ksivlon, it says in our Torah, B'mokim bro, brata leitiris. A daughter does not inherit if there's a son. And therefore, according to the Torah, I get the whole inheritance. She doesn't get anything. Omar Le, this heretic answered back, Minyoimud Goliston Me'arachin, from the time that you've been expelled from your land, from Eretz Yisrael, when Golus, is Natilos Araisa de Moshe. The Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu has been taken away. Ve'is Yehivos Sifra Achriti. Chas v'Shalom to even say such a thing, but here this heretic says, now a new Sefer has been given to dictate how Klal Yisrael lead their lives. Uchsiv Bein, in this Sefer it says, Bro Brata Kechodo Yarosun, a son and a daughter, they inherit together equally. That's what happened one day. Lemocho, the next day, Hoda Ailele, Ihu, Reb Gamliel now came the next day, and he brought to this heretic Chamra Luva, a donkey, but not stam, a very expensive donkey from a place called Luv. And then they continued the argument, and again he was there with his sister, and listen to what happened this time. Omer Luhu, this heretic, now changed his mind. He says, Shpilas le Sefer de Safra, I proceeded to the end of this Sefer, this so to speak new Sefer that's supposed to be dictating us. Because I've been, it says there, I'm not coming to take away from what it says in the Torah of Moshe, nor am I coming to add on the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And in the Torah it says, that in a place where there's a son, the daughter doesn't inherit, because now obviously Reb Gamliel had bribed him. Omrole, so Ema Sholim now said to this heretic, Nohir Nohirich Kashrago, your light should shine like a lantern. She was trying to hint to him that, do you remember I gave you yesterday the lantern? And you know what happened? Omrole, Reb Gamliel answered back, Osa Chamra, the donkey will come, Ubatash Vashraga, and kick the lantern. Obviously, he was hinting to his donkey that supposedly was worth even more than the lamp that she sent. And this way, they especially did this in front of all the people that were watching there, and they totally exposed him, and everybody saw that what this fellow was worth. The Gemara is now continuing back to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we saw that there are certain parts of the Torah, namely Ksuvim. There's Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, and Ksuvim are not read on Shabbos. Mipnei ma in Kirin Ben, why does one not read Ksuvim on Shabbos? Mipnei bitl beis hamedrash, because people will be learning Ksuvim instead of coming to the Drasha on Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah, that's how the Chachomim in the Mishnah explained why they didn't read the Ksuvim on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Mipnei ma in Kirin Chulu. Omar Rav, Rav said as follows, Lo yishonu Elo bizman beis hamedrash. When were they not allowed to read from the Ksuvim? Only in the time that the Chacham was giving his drasha. Avol shaloi bizman beis hamedrash. But the drasha was always before they would eat their meal. Later on, after they would eat their Shabbos meal in the afternoon, shaloi bizman beis hamedrash. Kairin, there's no problem whatsoever to read Ksuvim. Ushmuel Omar. Shmuel argued and was more machmir than Rav, was more stringent, and he said, Shmuel Omar afilu shaloi bizman beis hamedrash ein kairin. Even not in the time that the Chochem is giving his drash, even after their meal, they would not read from the Ksuvim. Asks the Gemara, could Shmuel really have held that way? Eini, it doesn't make sense. V'ho Narada, Asri de Shmuel hava. The place called Narada was Shmuel's place. He was the Rav there. Uba Narada, we all know that in Narada, Poski Sidra b'Ksuvim, they would read from the Ksuvim b'mincha de Shabbat. At Shabbos, at Mincha time. And if you, Shmuel, say that even when the Rav is not giving a drasha, you're not allowed to read Ksuvim, what's going on in Narada? Elo says the Gemara, I itmar hochi itmar. There was indeed a machleikus Rav and Shmuel. And Shmuel is more stringent than Rav. But we have to add in a few more details. Omar Rav, lo yishonu, elo b'mokim beis hamedrash. That in the place of the beis hamedrash, irrespective of whether it's the time that the Rav is speaking or not, in the place where the Rav is speaking, they would not read Ksuvim. Aval shaloi b'mokim beis hamedrash, not in the place of the where the drasha is, kairin, irrespective of whether it's the time of the drasha or not the time of the drasha, if it's not in that place, kairin, one's allowed to read the Ksuvim. Ushmuel Omar, and Shmuel argued. Shmuel said that bein b'mokim beis hamedrash, bein shaloi b'mokim beis hamedrash, which means even not in the place of the drasha, bizman beis hamedrash ein kairin. Whilst the rav is giving the drasha, there you should not read ksuvim. Shaloi bizman beis hamedrash. However, if it's not the time of the drasha, kairin, then you're allowed to read from the ksuvim, even in the mokim of the drasha, even in the place that the drasha was given. V'oz de Shmuel letameh, and then Shmuel is letameh. The Bernardo in his place in Narada, Poski Sidra de Ksuvim b'Minchas de Shabbat, they would read from the Ksuvim in Shabbos Mincha because it was not in the time of the Drasha. That's how the Gemara answers this, the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi says no. Lo'oilam kada omron mi'ikara. The truth is that the argument of Rav and Shmuel is as we thought initially. That Rav says that in the time where the drash is happening, it's also to read Ksuvim. If it's not the time, it's Mutter. And Shmuel said that even when it's not the time of the drasha, it's Osir. And then we asked a question, so how in Narada are you allowing them to read the Ksuvim Shabbos Mincha time? And the Gemara is now going to answer that this Shmuel had two fronts. He had what he himself held. What he himself held, he wasn't arguing with Rav. He held exactly like Rav, that if it's Shloi Bezman Beis HaMedrash, it's Mutter. And that's why in Narada he did it. We saw in this Braisa, not in the Braisa, we saw before Omar Shmuel, that even Shloi Bezman Beis HaMedrash, he shouldn't read, yet that wasn't his own opinion. He was quoting somebody else. And that somebody else is more stringent than Rav, and that somebody else says that you're not allowed to read Ksuvim even when it's not the time of the drasha. Who's that somebody else? Lo'olam kedomrin meikoral, as we saw before. Ushmuel k'rav Nechemya, the Shmuel we mentioned before that says that even not in the time of the Beis HaMedrash, you're not allowed to read Ksuvim, is following Rav Nechemya. Titani we learnt in the Braisa. Afal pisha omru kisva kodesh ein kairin bohen, even though we don't read from these ksuvim, avol shoinin bohen. That means take keheles or she'ashirim. We don't learn keheles or she'ashirim on Shabbos, according to this braisa. But shoinin bohen, if in the middle of the drasha, the rav wants to quote a medrash, or even a person himself, to learn the midrashim that discuss keheles or discuss she'ashirim or the other ksuvim, you're allowed to learn about the ksuvim. Just the ksuvim themselves we don't read. V'doroshin b'hem, and one is allowed to say drashas about ksuvim. Nitzrach l'posuk, mevi v'roya boy, if in the middle of the drasha, the person giving the drasha wants to quote a posuk and wants to look it up, of course you're allowed to bring him a ksuvim and you're allowed to look it up. That was the Tanakhama. Omer ibn Nechemya, mipnei ma omru kisvei kodesh ein kairin b'hem. Why indeed did the Chachomim say, according to Rav Nechemya, that you're not allowed to read these ksuvim on Shabbos, kedesha yoimru, because we want people to make a calculation and say to themselves, b'kisvei kodesh ein kairin, we don't read from the from the holy scrolls, from the Torah. V'kolshken b'shtori adyotis, of course that you shouldn't read just idle literature, you know, cheshbonos, accounts, and things that are not important for Shabbos. Those are shtori hadyotis, and one shouldn't read them at all. And Reb Nechemya maintained that we want to impress that on people not to read shtori hadyotis. And therefore, he said, don't read these ksuvim any time, even not in the time of the drasha. So Shmuel, when he said that even shlei bezman beis medrash, you shouldn't read ksuvim, that was just conforming with what Reb Nechemya held, that the whole Shabbos, you shouldn't read them. Shmuel himself held exactly like Rav, and that shlei bezman beis medrash, it was mutter. And there's a very big discussion in the Rishonim and in the Poskim exactly what's called shtori hadyotos, that you're not allowed to read on Shabbos, but here the Gemara does not really go into it, so we're not going to elaborate, but it's something that's worth looking into. This continues the next Mishnah. Matzilin tik ha-sefer im ha-sefer. In the previous Mishnah we learned that if chas v'shalom there's a fire on Shabbos, one's allowed to save the Tanakh, the Sforim, one's allowed to save them. So it says here that even the tik, which is the pouch or the container that's made to hold the safe at the Sforim, one's allowed to save them at the same time. When you're taking out the Sforim, you're allowed to take out the covers of the Sforim at the same time. The tik ha-tfilin im ha-tfilin, when you're saving the tfilin, you're allowed to take out the tik, the pouch, the containers of the tfilin as well. Va'afal pish yesh b'toichon mois, even if there are coins inside this tik of the sforim or of the tefillin, you want to save the coins because they're going to get burnt otherwise. But on Shabbos you're not allowed to save the coins. You're only allowed to save the sforim and the tefillin. But since these coins are already in the pouch, we allow you to keep the coins there. Since you're taking the pouch out with the sforim, then the coins go with it and it's okay. Ulheichon matzilon, where are you allowed to take these sforim out to? Ulheichon matzilin oisom lemovoi she'ene mefulosh, to a movoi which is a type of a walk through, a drive through, she'ene mefulosh, but one that's not completely through. It's a dead end, we call it a cul-de-sac. Then that's a type of movoi that you're allowed to carry the sforim from the home into such a movoi. Ben Basera Omer Aflim Afulosh, Ben Basera says you're even allowed to carry the Sforim into a Mavui, which is Mafulosh, which is going straight through, and there's a Roshus Rabim on either side. And we're going to see in a later Gemara exactly what's going on with this halacha, with which type of Mavui, and what's going on. The Gemara we're going to learn is going to focus on the first part of the Mishnah, that Matzilin Tik HaSefer Im HaSefer, Afal pish yesh besoichon mois. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Arba osor shechol yeis b'Shabbos. If Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, and we all know that on Erev Pesach there's a mitzvah of shechting the Korban Pesach, you're allowed to do that even on Shabbos. However, when do we eat the Korban Pesach? Only at night. Matzah Shabbos in this case. When do you prepare the Korban Pesach? So the preparation has a number of stages. There's skinning the animal, and that's also got two stages. There's skinning the animal in order to fry it, to roast it. Not to fry it, you have to roast it. And that you can, the roasting, you only do on Matzah Shabbos. You can't do that on Erev. Normally it was done on Erev Pesach after the Shechita. If it's Shabbos, then they would roast it only in the evening on Matzah Shabbos. However, the Imurim, part of this is a korban, and it has to go on the Mizbeach, part of the insides. So they would have to skin at least part of the animal in order to be able to reach those Imurim, those insides, and take them and put them on the Mizbeach on Shabbos. You shecht it on Erev Pesach. The time to put these Imurim onto the Mizbeach has to be on Erev Pesach, which is on Shabbos. So here we have a number of issues. We have an issue of, are you allowed to skin the entire animal, or you're only allowed to skin until its chest, which is just about as much as you need to be able to remove the insides. And then we have an issue, now after you've removed the insides, is the animal mukta? Are you allowed to carry it? What's with the skin? Is the skin mukta? Are you allowed to carry it? Etc. And we're going to see how this comes into this Gemara. Arba Asar Shecholies B'Shabbos, if the 14th of Nisan is on Shabbos, Mafshitin, they would strip, they would skin the korban as a Pesach Adachoza, only until the breast of the animal. Divi Rabbi Yishmol B'Noish Rabbi Yechon Ben Bereikar, Yishmol held that you're not allowed to skin the whole animal. You don't need to. You do that on Matzah Shabbos, on Leil Pesach. V'chachomim Oimrim, the Chachomim argue and say, Mafshitin es Kuloi, you're allowed to remove the entire skin of the whole animal, even though it's Shabbos. Continues the Braisa, Bishleim el Rebbe Shmol B'noish Rabbi Yechon Ben Bereikar, Dois Avid Lei, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we understand, why are you skinning this animal now? It's Shabbos. You're skinning it because you need to take out the insides. The insides are tzayruch kavoya, it's for the needs of the korban, the needs of Hashem, so to speak. You've got to put it on the mizbeach. On Shabbos, you're allowed to do that. Elo l'rabbonon maitama. According to Rabbonon, you're allowed to definitely skin it until the breast of the animal, till the choze. You need to. According to the Chachomim, what justification is there to skin the entire animal? You don't need it. Omar Rav Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, the Omar Kro, I have a posuk, and the Ritva says that this is not a real posuk, it's just an asmachta. But the posuk says, Kol po'al Hashem, everything you do should be for Hashem lemaneu, to honor Hashem. And over here, you're taking off the skin of the animal, of this korban, is actually an honor for Hashem, for the korban. What honor are you doing? How is it enhancing the animal that you're taking off the whole skin now on Shabbos? So there's two explanations. Rav Yosef Omar Shaloy Asriach. If you're going to leave the skin half on, half off, the animal is going to get spoiled. Rava says, Shaloy Yuhu Koche Shemaim Mutolin Kenevela. If you just leave the animal half skinned, then it just looks as if these holy korbanos are just lying around like an avela, like a dead animal, and it's not respectful. My binay, what's the difference? In what case is there going to be a difference in halachic ramification between Rav Yosef and Rava? Says the Gemara, Ika binayu de monach aptura de dava. If this korban is lying on a golden table, if it's on a golden table, then according to Rav Yosef, that says that the reason you're allowed to skin the animal is because the animal shouldn't get spoilt, the animal can get spoilt even if it's on a golden table. So it's still mutter to skin it. However, according to Rava, that says that it's in order that the animal shouldn't lie around in a disgraceful way, like an avela, if it's lying on a golden table, that's not a disgraceful way. So the very fact it's lying on a golden table is enough reason that you don't need to skin the rest of the animal. That's one difference. Another one, inami, yema de astona. A day where there's a northern wind blowing, and it's a very pleasant, it's not a hot wind at all. And that way, in that case, according to Rav Yosef, who says that the reason you're allowed to skin the rest of the animal is in order that it shouldn't be nisriach, it shouldn't get spoilt. Over here, it's going to be asa because it will not get spoilt. It's a very cool breeze. However, according to Rava, that says that the reason that you're allowed to skin the whole animal is in order that it should not lie around like an avela, that's going to apply even if there's a northern wind blowing, and therefore it will still be mutter. And the Ritva adds in, if it happens to be that the animal is lying on a golden table and on a day that's the northern wind is blowing, then according to Rav Yosef and according to Rava, you'll not be allowed to skin the animal, even according to the second half of the animal, even according to the Chachomim. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, B'noish Rabbi Yechanan ben Baroika, Hai po'al Hashem l'manehu, my Ovid Lei. This posuk, that according to the Chachomim, is telling them that you're allowed to do something as in respect, in honor for Hashem's korban, namely to skin the entire animal. Rabbi Shmuel, B'noish Rabbi Yechanan ben Baroika, says you're not allowed to skin the entire animal. So according to him, what's he learning out from this pasuk? Says the Gemara, Shelo yotzei ha'imurin kodem afshat ha'sa'ir. He learns that you have to take out the insides. I may have thought that you can pull out the insides somehow without skinning, without taking off the skin until the breast of the animal. But that's a very not honorable way of doing it. So Rabbi Shmuel learns out from this pasuk, don't do that. Skin the animal properly with respect and dignity, and then take out the insides the way you're supposed to, and then don't skin anymore. But in order that you shouldn't take out the insides before skinning it, you learn that from this pasuk of Lemanehu. Maitam, why indeed should a person not take out the insides before he skinned the animal? Omer von a braider of nost mishum nimin, because pulling it out like that, the insides are going to get entangled with the threads of the strands of hair that are on the skin of the animal, and it's going to be a mess. Therefore, skin the animal and then go into the insides in a very appropriate way, take out the insides and put them on the mizbeach. Continues the Gemara. Omar of Chizda, Omar Mar Ukva. My Ahadrulei Chavrei Le Rabbi Shmuel Benoish Rabbi Yechman Baroika. Rabbi Shmuel, he asked a question to the Chachomim. You Chachomim, why are you allowed to skin the whole animal? I say, says Rabbi Shmuel, you're allowed to skin it till the breast, because that's what I need in order to take out the Imurim. But you Chachomim, you don't need to take out, you can take out the Imurim when it's skinned till the breast. What are you gaining by skinning the whole animal? Now the truth is, the Chachamim have already explained themselves. They have the pasuk of Lemanehu. Lemanehu says you have to honor the animal, to honor the korban, and if you leave it with half the skin on, the skin is going to heat up the animal, and then the animal is going to get ruined. Or if it's just half skinned, it looks like a dead corpse of an animal, and that's not respectful. So it's, either way, the Gemara assumes that there's still more to be said. Either like the Ritva said that Lemanehu is not a real pasuk, it's a real pasuk, it's not a real source, it's just an asmachta, or that they assume that the Chachomim only said Lemanehu before they knew that you could learn something else from Lemanehu, but once Rabbi Shmuel explained to us that you can use Lemanehu to tell us not to remove the insides before skinning the animal, maybe the Chachomim would use Lemanehu for that, and therefore we don't have a source that's allowing the Chachomim to skin the entire animal. Either way, the Gemara here assumed that the Chachomim still had what to add. So another reasoning to allow them to skin the entire animal, even though only half was the absolutely necessary for the korban. Hachi ko'omerli. So the Chachomim said as follows, and this is how it comes into this Gemara, that we have this one line in our Mishnah, and the Gemara is now going to turn it round and round in four or five different ways. As we saw in our Mishnah, Hachik Omrali, the Chachomim said to Rabbi Shmuel as follows, Im Matzilim Tik HaSefer, Im HaSefer, if you're allowed to save the container of the Sefer Torah, the tick, together with the Sefer Torah, that means in honor of the Sefer Torah, if you're saving the Sefer Torah in order to honor it, the Chas V'Shalom, it shouldn't get burnt, you're allowed to also save the tick, take it out, and taking it out into this Mavui was an infringement on Hilchos Shabbos on some level, at least on a Drabonon level. And if you allow that, Lo Nafshit Es HaPesach Me'oiroi, then are we not allowed to skin the entire animal from of the Korban Pesach? And Rashi explains that what we actually mean here is not the tick, it's the money in the tick. Of course you allow us to take out the tick because that's the way you honor the Sefer Torah, and that's Tzorech Kavoya. But with the taking out the tick, you're also taking out your own coins, which is for your own personal benefit. So too, in the same way as you're allowed to, if you're already honoring the Sefer Torah by taking out the tick, by the way, you're allowed to take out your money as well, so too, one should be allowed to take out, to skin this, one should be allowed to extend what you're doing in honor of the korban, even for your own needs. Which means that the half of the skinning you're allowed to do because the korban needs it. The second half of the skinning, at the most, it's for your own interest. The korban doesn't need it. But in the same way as you're allowed to save your money, your coins, so too you should be allowed to do an extension of what you're already allowed doing. You're skinning half the animal, you can skin the rest of the animal, even though it's not needed for the korban. Like the coins are not needed for the Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara, how can you compare the two? Midomi. Hosom tiltul. Hocha melocha. Over there, there's an issue with carrying. The Mefarshim discuss here whether the issue is the Muktza, the issue is the Haitzah, but either way, over there, you're taking the coins and you're taking them out into a Mavi, and these are issues. These are all Durabonons. The Muktza is Durabonon, carrying out into the Mavi is Durabonon. Those are Durabonons. Hacha, but skinning is Melacha. It's one of the 39 Melachas we saw in the Mishnah on Daf Ein Gimel. Hafshato, skinning an animal, is one of the Melachas. So the fact that when you're in any case honoring a Sefer Torah, then you're allowed to take the coins with it, even though the Sefer Torah doesn't need the coins, because you're in any case honoring the Sefer Torah. And the fact that you're doing some Durabonons on the way, the Chachomim allowed that. But we're here to do a melacha of skinning? That you can't bring proof from our Mishnah for that. Omer Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi is now turning this around a little bit, and he's now going to explain what the Chachomim actually answered. Omer Rav Ashi, betarti pligi. The truth is, the machlekas Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachomim is twofold. There was one machlekas: are you allowed to skin the animal only till the breast, or do you have to, or are you allowed to skin it right the entire animal? Rabbi Shmuel was machmir and said you're only allowed to skin till the breast, and the Chachomim said that you can take out the whole thing. There was another argument, and that was an argument: are you allowed to move the skin? Is the skin mukta? Here again, Rabbi Shmuel was machmir. Rabbi Shmuel said you're not allowed to move the skins on Shabbos, and the Chachomim said you are allowed to move the skin on Shabbos. Betarti pligi, pligi betiltul. They're arguing regarding mukta, the pligi, but melocha, and they're also arguing about whether one's allowed to do the melocha of skinning. And the way the Rishonim, the Ritva, explains here is that the Gemara is now not going to tell us why the Chachomim allow us to skin the entire animal. For that, the Chachomim had a different source not discussed here. The whole discussion here is what's with the mukta aspect. And the Chachomim themselves, in the same way as they allow a person to skin the entire animal, which is a melocha min ha-Torah, of course they're allowed to move it as well. It's only midrabonon. That wasn't the issue. The issue was, if the Chachomim had a claim to Rabbi Shmuel, that even though you, Rabbi Shmuel, don't allow to skin the whole animal because it's a melocha, at least you should allow that it shouldn't be mukta. And that's going to be the discussion. Is there any claim of the Chachomim against Rabbi Shmuel that at least there should be no issue of mukta? The proof, the claim the Chachomim are going to say against Rabbi Shmuel is going to be from our Mishnah. And we're going to try and see how that works. And this is what the Chachomim answered to Rabbi Shmuel only regarding the aspect of tiltul. Im matzilim tik ha-sefer, im ha-sefer. If one is already allowed to take out the, together with the Sefer Torah, you're allowed to save the tik, which means you're allowed to, in honor of the Sefer Torah, you can take out the tik, and saving the Sefer Torah itself is kveit shamayim. So to here, the meat of the animal is similar to the Sefer Torah, and that's kveit shamayim. And once I'm taking out, I'm doing kveit shamayim in the same way as I can add on the tik for kveit shamayim, and there's no problem of tiltul, so too I should be allowed to move these skins, which are just part of the, or an annex to the meat itself. And since the meat is the kveit shamayim, then anything that I can do with it at the same time should be mutar. Im matzilim tik ha-sefer, im ha-sefer, loy netaltel oyer agav bosor. The Sefer Torah and the meat are both the kveit shamayim. You're allowed to move the tik, you're allowed to carry out the tik with the money in it, with the Sefer Torah in respect to the Sefer Torah, so too I should be allowed to move the skin in respect for the meat, which is the kveit shamayim. Says the Gemara Midomi, you can't compare the two. Hosom, in the case of the Mishnah, nase bosis ledovar amuta. The tik is a bosis, is a base for something which is muta, the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is not mukta, and therefore you can carry the base with it, which is the tik. Hoch over here, it's true that the meat is the kveit shamayim, but the meat itself is mukta, because you can't eat it on Shabbos. So the skin is a base holding something that's mukta. You can't compare that to the tik. Hoch nase bosis ledovar asur. It should be also to carry it. You can't bring proof, says Rabbi Shmuel, from the Mishnah to the case of the skin of the Korban Pesach. This is what the Chachomim are actually claiming. Im matzilim tik shel sefer, im ha sefer afal pi sheyesh b'toichoy mois. If you're allowed to save the, you're allowed to take out the tik, which indeed the tik itself is a bosses for Dov Amuta, the Sefer Torah. You're allowed to save that even though there's money in it, and money is mukta, lo yinetaltel oir agav bosar. If you're allowed to carry the coins with the Sefer Torah, with the tik, or you're not allowed to, is the skin of the animal worse than those coins? And here the Gemara is comparing the heta to take out the tik, is doicha, the issa of carrying the money, so too the covet for the basar, the respect for the basar, should be doicha, the mukta, which is the skin. We said the skin is mukta. It's true the skin is mukta, but the covet for the meat should be doicha that mukta, like the covet of the Sefer Torah, which is the tik, is doicha mukta, because you can take out the coins with it. Says the Gemara, midomi, you can't compare the two. Hosom nase bosis ledova oso, ledova hamuta, over there, the tik itself is not mukta. You can take it out, even though there's some mukta also inside it. Besides the Sefer Torah, there's also coins. But the tik itself, because it's carrying the Sefer Torah as well, which is not mukta, the tik is not mukta. Hoche, in the case of the Mishnah here, in the case of the Korban Pesach, kuloi nase bosis ledava also, the skin itself. What do you want to say? That in the same way as you can take out the coins with the tik, therefore you should be able to take out the skin. We should take out the skin, the covered of the boss. So here the whole skin is mukta. You can't compare that to the tik, which is not mukta. Here we're changing it quite differently. We're not really bringing proof directly from what we learned with Korban Pesach, or from our Mishnah, sorry. We're not bringing a proof from the words in our Mishnah. It's a bit of an extension. The Mishnah was only talking about, I've got a Sefer Torah, it's under threat of being burnt, take a tick, you can take the tick and carry the Sefer Torah, put the Sefer Torah in the tick, and it doesn't even say you can take the tick. You don't bring the tick from somewhere else. It seems that the Sefer Torah is now in the tick, and in the tick there's mois. So I'm allowed to take out the Sefer Torah. You don't need to strap, you don't need to take off the tick from the Sefer Torah and leave the tick behind and take the Sefer Torah. You can take it all with. Over here, there's halacha. What happens if the Sefer Torah is not inside the tick? Are you allowed to bring the tick from another room in the home, from elsewhere? Bring the tick, put the Sefer Torah in the tick, and then take it out to save it from the fire. And that tick that you're bringing from elsewhere has coins in it. So it's not yet a bosses for the Sefer Torah. Once the Sefer Torah is in it, it will be a bosses also for the Sefer Torah, and then the tick will not be mukta. But it seems to be clear. We'll soon see why it's clear. But im mevim tik sheyesh b'seicha mois me'alma, before the Sefer Torah goes into it, the halacha is, it was clear to the Gemara, the halacha is, you're allowed to bring such a tick, even though there's coins in it and no Sefer Torah in it, you can bring it to the Sefer Torah and put the Sefer Torah into it. So if you can do that, lahatzel by Sefer Torah, lo yinetaltel oir agav bosor, if you can carry this tick with coins in, just because you're doing it with the intentions of then saving a Sefer Torah, why should you not be allowed to move the skins of the Korban Pesach? You said before the skins are mukta and the tick is not mukta because it's holding the Sefer Torah. Here it is mukta because it's only holding the coins at that point. And the Gemara says, v'higu f'minolon, how do you know that you're allowed to take such a tick? You're assuming you're allowed to take a tick with the coins in to the Sefer Torah, and you're bringing proof from there that you should be allowed to move the skins. Who told you that's true? Ilema de mehecha de ispe loy shodi lehu aise nami maisinen. Are you learning it just from the very fact that if the tick is already here, you don't need to take the Sefer Torah out of it, which means that you're allowed to respect the Sefer Torah by taking it out with the tick, then you're taking it for granted, asuya nami maisinon, that you're also allowed to bring such a tick. Midomi? That's not a good enough proof. You can't compare the two. Hosom, in the case of the Mishnah where the Sefer Torah is already in the tick, adahochi v'ochi noflet leka, the reason you don't need to take the Sefer Torah out of the tick is because if you hang around too much, the Sefer Torah is going to get burnt. Just rush, take the Sefer Torah with the tick, with the coins, and clear the scenes. Hocha, but in the case where the tick is not here yet, adahachi v'hachi lishdinon. So you're going to bring the tick? If you're going to bring the tick, then if you have time to bring the tick, in the meantime, turn it upside down and let the coins fall out of it. Who says you're allowed to take the coins lekatchila and carry them? Shake out the tick, let the coins fall down, and then take the tick. It's not mukta. And if so, you won't have proof that the skins, which are mukta, you're allowed to move them. Ela omar Mar Bar Avashi, no. Mar Bar Avashi says the source that we assume you're allowed to take the tick with the coins to the Sefer Torah is la'olam kada omrinon mikora. Mar Bar Avashi is now changing back the whole thing. He's saying, no, we don't really have a source, and therefore maybe you're not allowed to bring a tick with the money, and we're not talking here about tiltul. Says Rav Ashi, we're going right back to the beginning of the Gemara. Right at the beginning of the Gemara, la'olam kadom rinon mi'kora, what did we say right at the beginning of the Gemara? That the Chachomim made a claim to Rabbi Shmuel, or the Chachomim were arguing with Rabbi Shmuel, not regarding tiltul. No, we're back to Hafshota, regarding the actual skinning, which is the topic of the Braisa, the main topic of the Braisa. Before the Gemara said that they're arguing, Rav Ashi said before, Batarati pligi, over here, Mar Bar Rav Ashi says, no. It might be, whether they are arguing in Tarati or not, is not the issue here. But we're going back to the beginning of the Gemara, that the Chachomim are saying to Rabbi Shmuel, we are allowing to skin the whole animal. Why? Because we're learning it from the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that you're allowed to even take out coins whilst you're saving the Sefer Torah, so too, you're allowed to move the skins. You're allowed to take off the skins. That's what we're saying now. We're back to Hafshota, to skinning. The same way as I'm allowed to take out the coins that are mukta with the Sefer Torah, I'm allowed to skin the animal, even though I don't really need it, but as an extension to the respect that we're showing to the Korban. But we asked a question on that before. We said before that how can you compare the two? Carrying the coins is mukta, it's only drabonons. Skinning is one of the lamates melachis. We're going to deal with that. You asked me, how can you compare the heta to take out the coins with skinning? Skinning is a melach, it's one of the lamates melachis. No. I don't need the oir. It's a melacha she'ein etzricha leguf. I don't need the skins. I'm not skinning it because I want the skins, and therefore, it's muta. And therefore, it's only medrabonon. If I don't need the skins, then the melacha of afshata that I'm doing, it's as if I didn't intend to skin it. I didn't need the skins, and therefore, it's only drabonons. And therefore, we can compare it to taking out the coins. Asks the Gemara of Abaye, Rava Amr Tarvayu, Moedir Reb Shimon Bepsik Reisha V'Loyamos. You try to explain to this according to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says that if you don't want the melacha, you don't need the melacha itself, in and of itself, then it's muta, but that's only if it's not Psik Reisha. But if it's absolutely inevitable that you're doing the melacha, in the same level as cutting off an head of an animal, it's going to die, so to hear, by skinning the animal, you have done a skinning, whether you want the skin or not. It's very clear that the melach is going to get done. Even Reb Shimon will agree that it's osa. So then we're back to what we originally said. It's a melacha. How can you compare it to carrying the coins? Says the Gemara, no. The shokin leib barzi, that what's actually happening is that I'm skinning it in an unusual way. From the breast and down, says the Chachomim, I'm skinning it in little strips, piece by piece. It's not a normal way of skinning an animal. Since it's not done in a normal way, coupled with the fact that he doesn't even want the skins, then that's only a drabonon. And since it's only a drabonon, we can compare it to the coins. And if our Mishnah says you're allowed to take out coins, even though it's not a direct need for the hektish, but since I'm doing something else with the hektish, an extension of that allows me to take out the coins, so to here, even though the korban itself doesn't necessarily need to be skinned right down, but as an extension of the skinning you're allowed to do, we allowed you to skin the whole animal, providing it's on the level of the rabbonon, that you don't want it, you don't need the skins, you're not doing it in a normal fashion, and therefore it's mutar. And Emir Tzashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.